This is BPNRadio.com, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. A member of the Breakout Prayer Network. Let's pray, America.
Hey, this is Dale Gentry welcoming you to another classic interview here on BPNRadio.com. For over 3 years, I've had many special guests here on BPNRadio.com. So during the following hour, we're going to replay one of those great interviews. Please remember that the following interview has been pre-recorded and may include some dated content. However, well, you're going to be blessed by another one of our special classic interviews here on BPNRadio.com. Well, it's great to have with us here on BPN Radio today, Pastor Darren Frank from Church of Living Waters in Rosenberg, Texas. And Darren has been my friend for many years. I've known him for a long time, since he was a teenager. And his mom and dad, I ministered for them starting years ago at a church that they founded, Church of Living Waters, Rosenberg, Texas. Pastor Darren Frank, it's good to have you on the broadcast today.
Yeah, thank you, Dale. I'm excited to be a part of what God is doing through this radio broadcast.
Well, it's a delight to have you on. And, you know, you've shared your testimony at several different places where I've been. And I just want to, we're going to talk about forgiveness today, and I want you to pray for people that are having a very difficult time forgiving. And you have one of the most amazing testimonies concerning forgiveness that I have ever heard in my entire life and ministry. So would you just share a little bit about your story today, what happened to you, your family, and how you walk through this pathway of forgiveness, and then I want you to pray for people today that may be challenged with unforgiveness, saying, you know, you don't know what they did to me, you don't know how they hurt me, abused me, misused me, and I'm just having a difficult time forgiving. But I believe that people are going to be blessed by your testimony today. So share your story, Darren, and then we're going to pray.
Amen. But one of the, you know, I know that unforgiveness across the board is almost in every person, I believe. And God wants to set us free. He wants us to make a decision to forgive. In 2009, I lost my brother to a tragedy, a death. And my mom and my family was just overwhelmed with the loss of my brother at the age of 42. And, you know, we came together as a family. There was a lot of things that went on, and, you know, just believed and started trusting the Father, God. And just, you know, a few weeks after losing my brother, my sister came to me and she said, you know, life is so short. I want to do everything that I can to advance the kingdom of God. I want to be the person that God created me to be. And she looked at me and she said, would you help me move away from my husband? This was in the month of October, and she asked me, on the day after Christmas, would you help me move to mom and dad's house? I just need a few weeks away from him to get some things aligned and to get some stuff straightened out. And I just said, you know, yes, I'll help you. Is there anything that I can do now? And she said, no, I just want to make sure that I can do all that God's called me to do. And so nothing else came about that. Just a few weeks before the Christmas time in 2009, she called me and she asked me that if anything would ever happen to her, would I take care of her children? And she said, now I want you to listen to me. Would you love my kids if something happens to me? And I told her at that time that we're family, that if anything would ever happen to her or children, that I would take care of everything, that we're family, and that's what family does. So we had a Christmas time, 2009, my mom, my dad, my sister, our family. It was a mighty time. And the day after Christmas, she called me and she said, okay, would you help me? And I went over to her home, and everything that she owned was in black trash bags. And she asked me to take everything that she had to my mom's house, which was about a mile and a half down the street. I knew at that time that she was really nervous, that she was wanting to hurry up. She has four children, three girls and one boy, that were very nervous that were there. And so we took all of the stuff and we moved her to my mom's house. Because the kids were a little bit nervous, I took the kids to get ice cream. We went to a movie. And when I came back to the house with the kids, I asked her, do you want me to stay here with you? Do you want me to just spend the night here? And she said, no, everything's going to be fine. I trust God. Just went home, and about midnight that night, I get a call from the Rosenberg Police Department asking me to come to my father and mother's house. I pull up at the scene, and there's yellow tape all around the home. And there's a policeman there that wants me to come to a car. And I'm just asking him, what happened, sir? What's going on? What happened? And he just asked me to come to where my sister's children were. And on the way, I stopped at an ambulance and just wanting to know what's going on. I saw my father sitting in the ambulance, and he had blood all over his face and all over his clothes. And I looked up at him, and I knew that he was shaking. And I just said, Dad, what happened? And he looked at me, and I knew by looking at his eyes that my mom was dead. And he looked up and he said three words that changed my life. And it's three words that I continue to meditate on. He said, I forgive James. And these three words were the only words he was able to say. I found out that James broke into the home. James is my sister's husband for 14 years. He was a prison guard in the state of Texas. And he walked up the stairs, and he woke up the four kids, and in front of the kids, he killed my sister. My little niece runs out, and she gets my mother, and my mom hands her the phone, and she calls 911. And my mom meets James at the top of the stairs, and James, with a knife, really just, there's a brutality attack on my mom. And my niece is standing there the whole time this is happening, and she's already dialed 911, and it's completely on the records of 911 of my mom speaking into James, saying, James, Jesus loves you. He's the only one for you, James. James, he's the only answer for you. And she was doing this while she was being attacked. And her last words were, Jesus loves you. And you never heard anything else. All you hear is screaming. All you hear are the kids. So I walk over to the kids where they are in the back of a police car, knowing that my sister and my mom were dead, that James ran out the front door, stabbed my father in the back of his head, and now he's gone. The kids had blood from the top of their heads to the bottom of their feet. The faces of the kids were just, I can't even explain it really in words, how they looked and how afraid that they were.
Wow. But I know this is it's a very difficult time. Every time you share this story, I know it's very difficult, Darren, but I know that so many people need to hear your story. In fact, I've even given you prophetic words that one day there'll be a movie made of what happened, because so many people are walking in unforgiveness. And so, I mean, how did you come to a place where you could forgive James? I know he was on the run for a long time, and you took your sister's kids in, and they lived in your home, and you became a father to them. I know it was a very difficult time, especially while James was on the run. Can you describe a little bit about that?
Yes, they actually found James on March 6th, 2010, in North Carolina. We went on America's Most Wanted. John Walsh came to our family and said that he would like to help us, and that he knows that they'll find James if we air on his show. And just a few weeks after the airing, It was on another show, Regis and Kelly, and there was a phone call. James was sitting in a mall in North Carolina. The police were able to go and just apprehend him. As far as the forgiveness, you know, I was able to hear my father say, "I forgive James." And those words just were so powerful to me. I just didn't know, though, how I was going to forgive him. You know, if someone takes your car, someone burns down your home, someone does stuff like that, I mean, it's so difficult. But those things are replaceable. And one day you'll get another car. One day you'll have another home. But if someone takes a family member from you, a mother, a sister, I know that there'll be a day that I'll see them again. But on this earth, I will never have them again, never be able to touch them, never be able to talk to them. I am very thankful that I've had them for the time that I did, but I really felt there was so much more in relationship that God wanted. And it just felt like that was just ripped away from me. When I saw James the first time in the courtroom, we walked into the courtroom. We were sitting there when they bring James in. He looks at my family, and he laughs at us so loud that they have to remove him from the courtroom and cancel the court that day. And I was being tormented, Del.
Yeah.
I can't even express to you, but I know that there will be people that will be listening to this broadcast that can understand the torment from the enemy, where he's got your ear and he's screaming in it, and there's nothing you can do. It feels like you're just hopeless and helpless, and he controls every thought, every moment. And I found myself just in bed and couldn't get up. I couldn't go to sleep. I couldn't wake up when I did go to sleep. I couldn't do anything.
Wow.
And I was being tormented by this laugh, by what happened. And, you know, just a few months into that, my wife came to me and she said, "You know, Darren, you're not the only one in this. We need your help. Your dad needs you. The kids need you. I need you. You need to get up." And I can't tell you what that did to me. Even though I knew I needed to get up, I needed to do things, I found myself I couldn't do it. I was just saying, "God, just take me." The torment was so much, I didn't even want to live anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I continued to hear what my dad said. "I forgive James." And I knew, because the book of Matthew talks about the king that wanted the debt paid, and the man that owed him so much, there was no way ever he was going to be able to collect the money that he ever was going to be able to pay him. And he fell down at the king's honor, and he begged him for forgiveness, begged him to pardon him. And the king released that debt that he owed. And then the man went right out, and with his hands, he grabbed someone that owed him a way less amount of money, and he demanded that he paid him. And the word continues to say that when the king heard this, that the king put that man in prison, and he allowed the tormentors to torment him until he was able to pay the debt. And I have to tell you that if I would not have been able to forgive James, that I would not be alive today, that I was in so much torment. I was being tormented by the enemy. And forgiveness, and this is what the broadcast needs to hear, the people, forgiveness is not something that I just can do. Forgiveness is a decision. And I didn't feel like forgiving him. I didn't want to forgive him. I had all the right not to, but I had to make a decision that I had to get the tormentors to stop.
Yeah.
And so I made a decision to forgive him. My dad was able to do it on the very day that this happened.
Wow.
I forgive James. I would say that daily. I didn't feel like doing it, but I knew that I had to get up out of the bed. I had to get up and move on. And for the first 7 days, I forgive James. James does not owe me anything. He never has to apologize to me. I forgive him for what he did. I release him into the hands of God. He owes me nothing. And I said that for another 7 days. And on the 14th day, I felt that I was getting confident in that decision. And then I moved back. It seemed like the day one again. But I was constant. I have to forgive him. And the reason that I had to forgive him, number one, I was being tormented. But the second reason is that I wanted to release him off of my hook and put him on God's hook.
There you go.
My dad told me that James took the lives of two women of God.
Yeah.
And that God will deal with this, and that we put our trust in him. And I was not able to release that. I was not able to release him until I started that decision to forgive.
Yeah.
And for a whole year, I made a decision to forgive James. I woke up every morning with that decision, and I would say it all day long until I could feel some kind of release daily, just to wake up the next morning again to say it again.
Yeah. Well, Jesus said, Peter said to Jesus, "How often shall I forgive?" And he said, "Seven times." Jesus said, "No, 70 times seven." I know that you've walked through this, Darren, and because of your not only willingness to forgive, but your determination to forgive, what has happened to you? I know we just have three or four more minutes here, but what has happened to you? What's happened to the kids? And what's happened to the church that you pastor and the school?
Yes. Well, the church and the people around the church definitely were following me in forgiveness. If I forgave, they were following me. My mom was a spiritual mother to the ministry. We have seen a mighty revival in our ministry, in our school, in our church. And it all started on making a decision to forgive. We had to forgive James as a church body. But as we forgave him, there were many people in many situations and circumstances that we had to forgive. We had to make a decision to forgive. And we started seeing, and I started feeling and knowing this personally, that I was being released. There was hope that came into my life, and hope is Jesus. And because of that hope, there was some healing that started, and healing's Jesus. And when I started moving into healing, there was freedom in my life. And I started just speaking that out to the people, and the people started really receiving great freedom because of healing, and healing because of decision to forgive. And we saw so many people be set free, and are set free even today. You know, I've said this, and there's so many miracles about this story. My children today are actually living back in the same room that my sister was killed in, and that's only supernatural. I don't want to go into all the circumstances of how we got back there, but we were completely led by God to move back into the home that I lost my brother, my mother, and my sister in. And in that home, there's God's presence, and that's the home that my father's in, and it's amazing what God is doing. So the church has just continued just to walk in freedom. It's moved out into our city now. Tonight, my oldest niece, Carissa, is taking a worship team into her school, Brazos High School, and has a speaker, and the entire school's going to be there, a high school, and they're going to hear the gospel. And she is so excited about what God is doing in her life. What happened in this story, Dale, is that felt like that we were stripped with every desire, every want that we ever had here in this earth, that so much was taken away from us, that the only desire that I have, that my family has, is to be and to do what God's called us to do. And that's taken away a lot of other things. And our purpose and our destiny is every morning to wake up and to be what God's called us to be. And there's a boldness that's flowing in our body, that's flowing in me, because of the decision to forgive and how God has met us in forgiveness, that it's only by his grace and by his love that we're able to press forward in. So wow. We see God moving. I'm also working in the prison system. I know that there'll be a day that I'll look James face to face. I believe I don't want anybody to go to hell. It doesn't matter what someone does to me.
Right.
I wouldn't want that on anybody in this world.
Yeah.
And I want to look at him and for his children's sake and for his sake. I believe that I'm going to speak what my mother spoke, the very last words that he heard her say. I'm going to start with those same words, James, Jesus loves you. And I don't know when that's going to happen, but until that happens, I'm doing that in the prisons, Carol Vance unit, some units, Darrington unit. And I'm going to continue to be faithful until God says this is the time. And when he says that, I'm going.
Wow.
And only can go through God's strength.
Yeah.
I know that I'm one of the weakest men around, but because I know that I'm weak, I'm very strong.
Yeah.
Because I lean on his strength.
Yeah.
And I'm so thankful that he's here with me.
Wow. What an amazing testimony, Darren. And I know there's people listening that are struggling with forgiveness. I know if you can forgive and your sister's children can forgive and y'all can even move back into the same home where the tragedy occurred, I know that other people can forgive. And I want you to say a prayer for these people right now that may be struggling with unforgiveness.
Yes. One of the things I'm going to pray here, forgiveness is a decision. Again, you're not going to feel like doing it because of what's happened to you. You can stand and say it's not fair. And let me tell you, it wasn't fair. But until we're able to forgive, we will be tormented. And so let's pray. Father, we call out on your name. You're the one that heals.
Yes.
You're the one that sets us free.
Yeah.
You're the one that forgives. And Father, because you freely forgave me for everything that I've done, everything I'm doing, everything I will do, Father, I feel obligated to forgive others. And Father, I pray, God, for everyone listening right now. Father, I know that there are some traumatic things that happen in our world today, and there are things that are going to continue to happen. Father, I pray great freedom to be over your people, because decision after decision after decision to forgive. Father, I pray, God, to even the minor things, to whatever's happened, Father, that we can rise up with your help and we can stand and we can say, I forgive James. Father, I was not able to do that by myself. Father, I needed to lean on your strength. And you say, Father, that when we're weak, that you're strong. You say, Father, that when we need you, that you would be there, that you're our refuge, that you're our strength. And Father, I call on your name right now. You know your sons. You know your daughters. You know what's happened to them. You know the situation. Father, I call on you that when that person rises up and they speak out that decision, that the heavens are going to open up and flood these people today, Father. Father, I pray, God, that you release, Father, these things that have happened to so many people that hearing our voices today. And Father, that we're able to release these people, the people that have done us wrong, whatever's happened. Father, even release ourselves from wrong things that we have done and give it to you, Father. Release it unto you. Release it into your hands. Father, I pray, God, for a miracle to happen even now over your people. Father, I pray that we can stand and that we can walk, God, day in and day out. And Father, that we can know, that we would know, Father, that we have nothing against a brother, that and brothers have nothing against us, that we walk in fellowship and communion.
Yes.
And believing, Father, for
yes.
you to come.
Yes.
In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we need your help. This is only done in you and through you. So, Father, I pray now, God, that you flood the rooms of the people right where they are, God, and that they would rise up with this decision and proclaim
yes,
it
Lord.
And speak it out
yes,
and
Lord.
Stand
yes.
until they release it in Jesus' name. Father, let it happen now.
Yes.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord. God. Thank you, Lord. And I set myself in agreement with you, Darren. Thank you so very, very much for sharing your testimony. And, you know, I do know your schedule is very limited, but you know, if anybody would like to have you to come to a church or to a group and share your testimony, pray for people. I know that you have limited time, but I know they would be tremendously blessed. How can people know about your church? Do you have a website or get in contact with you?
Yes. The website is www.colw.info. And our church phone number is 281-342-6336. I am willing to come. One of the things about the testimony is that we have been asked by many, many people to put it in a book, to do these things. But God has spoken to me very clearly that the testimony is not over yet, that we will see a mighty revival.
Yes.
And we are standing and believing on that. But he has told me that to only go where it would advance his kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And we have been to churches and we have seen so many people released of unforgiveness and so many people set free. So I am willing to go if the timing works out, and it will only be to advance his kingdom.
Wow.
Thank you.
Well, I would highly recommend that. I highly endorse you, Darren, and I've been honored that you have shared your testimony and some of the services that I've led, and always people are broken, touched, and ministered to. And so I bless you and the church, your family, Church of Living Waters, Rosenberg, Texas, and that's near Houston, Church of Living Waters, Rosenberg, Texas, and you can contact Darren. And thank you so much for being on the program today, and I know that people have been touched and blessed by your ministry. Thank you, Darren.
God bless you,
okay.
Bill.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to BPN Radio with Dale Gentry, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Tell your friends around the world to listen to this hourly broadcast as we pray for a revival in America, another spiritual awakening. Remember, as America goes, so goes the world. BPN Radio is sponsored by you, their loyal listeners and prayer partners. To donate to this network, click on the Donate button on our website at www.bpnradio.com. Remember that your contributions are tax deductible. Tune in at the same time or any time, day or night, to pray with Dale Gentry.
found me here. You pulled me close and held me near. And I'm a fool, but still you love. I'll be a fool for the King of Love.
Things of the earth will grow. of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and
gasoline. It'd been a long, hard year. She had a lot on her mind and she didn't pay attention. She was going away too fast. And before she knew it, she was spinning on a thin black sheet of glass. She saw both her lives flash before her eyes. She didn't even have time to cry. She was so scared. She threw her hands up in the air. Jesus, take the
attention to my God. I will listen for Change. word of the Lord. England. England, England, England. Hear the word of the Lord. Scotland. Scotland, Scotland, Scotland. Hear the word of the Lord. Ireland.